Dropping Honey.
Dropping Honey.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The flowing river supplied all kinds of taste, sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. Please repeat. The flowing rivers supplied all kinds of taste, sweet, pungent, sour, etc. And very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. Purport. If rivers are not polluted and are allowed to flow in their own way, or sometimes allowed to flood the land will become very fertile and able to produce all kinds of vegetables, trees, and plants. The word rasa means taste. Actually, all rasas are taste within the earth. And as soon as seeds are sown in the ground, various trees sprout up to satisfy our different tastes. For instance, sugarcane provides its juices to satisfy our taste for sweetness, and oranges provide their juices to satisfy our taste for a mixture of the sour and the sweet. Similarly, there are pineapples and other fruits. At the same time, there are chilies to satisfy our taste for pungency. Although the earth's ground is the same, different tastes arise to different kinds of seeds. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 10, Bijam mam sarvabhutanam. I am the original seed of all existences. Therefore, all arrangements are there. And as stated in the Isupanishad, Purnamidam, complete arrangements for the production of all the necessities of life are made by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People should therefore learn how to satisfy the Yajna Purusha, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu. Indeed, the living entity's prime business is to satisfy the Lord, because the living entity is part and parcel of the Lord. Thus, the whole system is so arranged that the living entity must do his duty as he is constitutionally made. Without doing so, all living entities must suffer. That is the law of nature. The words Tarva Bhuri Varshmanaha indicate very luxuriantly grown, big-bodied trees. The purpose of these trees was to produce honey and varieties of fruit. In other words, the forest also has its purpose in supplying honey, fruits, and flowers. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, due to an absence of yajna, there are many big trees in the forest, but they do not supply sufficient fruits and honey. Thus, everything is dependent on the performance of yajna. The best way to perform yajna in this age is to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasavi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse again. The flowing river supplied all kinds of taste, sweet, pungent, sour, etc., and very big trees supplied fruit and honey in abundance. The cows, having eaten sufficient green grass, supplied profuse quantities of milk, curd, clarified butter, and similar other necessities. Krishna has made an arrangement for the living entities to get the necessities of life. And they simply have to cooperate with the plan of the Lord, perform yajna, and everything will go on nicely. But the problem is the living entities aren't doing that, and therefore they're suffering in various ways. Just like, you know, they send up these spaceships, like the space shuttle, or the space station, you know, they have circling the Earth. And they make an arrangement. The engineers, you know, they make an arrangement. So there's food, there's water, there's air, everything is there. And when the astronauts go up there, then everything is supplied. They don't have to worry about it. They just do their duty. If they do their duty, then everything will go on fine. But then, if they start messing around with things, if they start doing things they're not supposed to be doing, then very quickly the whole arrangement will become messed up. And they'll find themselves suffering without enough air, without enough water, without proper food. If they take what they need and use what they have up there in the proper prescribed way, then everything goes fine. But if they start, like messing around with the water system, pulling out the air hoses, eating too much food, then the whole thing goes wrong. And that's more or less what's happened in this world today. There is a natural arrangement that Krishna has made, but the living entities aren't behaving properly. Isha vasyamidam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena taktena bunjita magrita kasya svidhanam. As it's stated in the Upanishad, everything is arranged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything is there. It's His property. And if we simply take what we need according to the proper methods, then everything goes fine. But if not, then things get messed up. And of course, things are a little bit more difficult in this age because it's the Kali Yuga. The purpose of trees, Srila Prabhupada said, was to produce honey and varieties of fruit. In other words, the forest has its purpose in supplying honey, fruits, and flowers. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, due to an absence of yajna, there are many big trees in the forest, but they do not produce sufficient fruit and honey. Like if you go up in the mountains of California here, you find the redwood trees, the California redwood trees. They're huge. They're massive. I once saw like a picture where somebody put one of these redwood trees next to the Capitol Dome in Washington and the Washington Monument. These redwood trees are actually much taller, you know, than the Capitol Dome. They're much taller than the Washington Monument even. So they're huge. They're actually the biggest living things on Earth. They're very awe-inspiring in one sense, you know, if you see them. But they don't produce any nice honey or fruits. They're just big trees. I mean, the most you can get out of them is this redwood, you know, which is a nice kind of wood to use, but they don't produce, you know, very much nice fruit or honey. Actually, I had a pretty interesting experience in my early days in the Krishna consciousness movement. I was in one of the Miami temples, not the one they have now, but it was in not Coconut Grove, but it was out towards the Everglades. And on this particular land, the devotees had some cows, which were giving profuse milk. They had 5 or 6 cows, but they were giving so much milk. And the devotees had fresh ghee, fresh milk sweets to offer the deities made from cow's milk. It's very wonderful. And there's one devotee there, whose name was Ramdas, who had some beehives. And so there's lots of fruits and flowers in Florida. So he had these beehives, and these beehives were producing tremendous amounts of honey. So that, you know, the devotees, they just, I mean, when it was Lord Balaram's appearance day, no shortage of honey, you know, to make, you know, Varuni beverage out of. The devotees get completely, totally intoxicated. Just everything had honey on it. You know, honey fruit salad, honey sweet rice. And also on this farm, we had all these, it wasn't a farm actually, it was just a kind of a rural property. But there were 40 mango trees and 40 avocado trees. So again, the devotees were just totally in ecstasy. You know, they had avocados as big as footballs. You know, so you could have avocado salad every day. You could have mangoes, mango fruit salad, mango pakoras, mango sweet rice, mango this, mango chutney, mango this, mango nectar. Everything mango, mango, mango during mango season. Have just as, you know, so, and then, you know, the devotees, they feed the mangoes, they get a little bit rotten to the cows, and they, of course, they love them, and they get completely intoxicated. So, it was sort of just like it was, you know, described here. You know, you have these trees giving all these nice fruits and flowers, and during the time when Srila Prabhupada was here, when Srila Prabhupada would come to the United States, the Miami temple would send, you know, temples would order from Miami, you know, banana leaves, bananas, coconuts, you know, flowers, because we were also growing lots of flowers there. And we would send these big shipments off to any temple where Srila Prabhupada was so the devotees could have nice flowers, coconuts, mangoes, banana leaves, everything. Everything required for yajñas and, you know, offering, you know, nice service to the spiritual master. So that was sort of like a little taste. You know, these in this day and age, you can get a small taste of this natural opulence, you know, in some parts of the world. But because of the Kali Yuga and because sacrifice is not being performed in most parts of the world, you don't get a taste of this kind of opulence very easily. But it said that even in the Kali Yuga, things can become like that once more if proper sacrifice is performed. Kriteya jayatam vishnum treityam yajatom akai dvaparar paricharyayam kalau tad harikirtanat. In different ages, different sacrifices are meant to be performed. In the Satya Yuga, the prescribed sacrifice was meditation on Krishna within the heart by the mystic yoga system. And then in the Treta Yuga, huge sacrifices were the prescribed method. And then in the Dwapara Yuga, elaborate deity worship. But in the Kali Yuga, it's simply recommended to chant the holy names of the Lord, perform the Sankirtan Yajna. Of course, these other things still go on. We still have deity worship. We still have fire sacrifices. We still perform a kind of meditation as well. But the main sacrifice for this age is this Sankirtan Yajna, which involves chanting the holy names of the Lord and distributing transcendental sound vibration in the form of the Vedic literatures. And if we do this, then our lives become as nice as they can be, you know, in the Kali Yuga. Of course, it's still the Kali Yuga, but it can become as nice as it can be in the Kali Yuga. Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I provide the necessities for, you know, my devotees, wherever they happen to be, in the city, in the country. You know, if we perform our duty for Krishna, we'll find, you know, Krishna will somehow or other, either by our own hand or the hand of somebody else, provide, you know, for whatever we need to carry out our duties. So, now, does anybody have any question about this? Okay, so, Archita.
Thank you. You made an elaborate a presentation of what the Miami temple was like at that time, but, you know, many people look around and they see such seeming natural abundance in places where people don't chant Hare Krishna or, you know, don't even believe in Krishna or whatever. So, here in the purport is being tied to the performance of yoga, but the natural world experience that people have is that they see opulence without any such performance, so they don't feel inclined to do that.
Whatever opulence they're experiencing is the result of past pious activities, past sacrifices that have been performed. So if that's understood, then they will understand if they want to continue, you know, to experience some opulence, natural opulence, then that has to, yajna has to go on. It has to go on. Of course, the devotees of the Lord, they carry on no matter what the situation is. Narayana parasarve nakuktashna bibite svargarpavarga narakesh apituliyarta darshanam. So the devotee has a different mentality, really. I mean, it was nice to be in the Miami temple. I like also serving in the Los Angeles temple. I like serving everywhere. And sometimes it turns out to be, you know, like a nice material situation, sometimes not so nice, but the service goes on no matter what. Apituliyarta darshanam. The devotee of the Lord doesn't restrict service to only times and places where things are very nice. The devotee will carry out service anywhere. As that verse says, whether in the heavenly planets or on the earthly planets or in the hellish planets, you know, the devotee simply goes on serving. But at the same time, you know, when we look at the world, we do want it to be as nice as possible. But the only way it can become nice is by the performance of sacrifice. And the only reason there is anything nice now is that previously people did perform sacrifice. Okay. I don't think we have to turn out the lights. I think you can see. Oh, that one. Okay. So I'm going to give just a brief kind of quick report of this recent preaching tour I went on in India. The purpose of this tour was to introduce this book, Human Devolution, a Vedic Alternative to Darwin's Theory. And basically, in the book, I give a lot of evidence that contradicts the current Darwinian theory of human evolution. And I present a Vedic alternative, which, to put it very simply, is that we didn't evolve up from matter. We devolved or came down from spirit. And the first thing we had to do for this tour was to bring out a special edition of the book for India that could sell for 300 rupees there. So we did that. And then we also made arrangements for the book to be placed in bookstores, English language bookstores all over India. And then after that was all arranged, then I went there for a tour. And the tour went all over India. It started out in Calcutta, then went to Mumbai, then to Bangalore, then to Coimbatore and Trivandrum in the south, then to Chennai here, and then to Hyderabad, and then finally to Delhi. So it was a pretty extensive tour. It took about 6 weeks to carry out. And why do it? Of course, Srila Prabhupada said here in Los Angeles, the more we kick on Darwin's face, the more advanced in spiritual consciousness. So we always want to try to advance in spiritual consciousness, and this is one way to do it. So we launched the book in India at an event at the Bengal Chamber of Commerce and Industry, where Alfred Ford of the Ford dynasty was chief guest. Of course, as many of you know, he's also a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. His name is Ambarish. And at this event, there were about 100 specially invited members of Calcutta's political, economic, social, and cultural elites. You know, they were all invited with hand-delivered invitations, and they responded very nicely. And this gentleman is the president of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And when he started speaking, he said, "Well, Mr. Cremo, you presented a very controversial book, and I'm sure here in Bengal you're going to get a lot of controversial reactions, because us Bengalis, we're kind of argumentative, and we like to kind of debate and things like that." And so then when Alfred Ford, Ambarish Prabhu, got up to speak, he said, "Well, I know all about this." He said, "I have a Bengali wife." His wife is from Bengal. So they really liked that. You know, they thought that was really great. And so then I gave a presentation about the book, and many of the people there purchased copies. And so it was a very nice launch for the whole tour. And then the goal in each city was to get university lectures, to have events at bookstores, and also to have media interviews. So without going into all the details, we did get a lot of university lectures. This is a seminar on the book at the Anthropology Department of Calcutta University. And then in Mumbai, I spoke at the Indian Institute of Technology. These IIT schools are considered to be the top schools in India, the most prestigious universities. So I spoke at several universities in the Mumbai area. In Bangalore, I spoke at the Indian Institute of Science, which is, again, one of the top educational institutes in India. And this particular lecture was very interesting because it took place during a torrential monsoon storm where you had, like here we have rain, it just sort of comes down, little raindrops, but in Bangalore when it rains, it rains. It's like columns of water, like coming down. And these students and teachers, they had to come to this auditorium, which is, they had to walk through this pouring rain. It's not like in America where everybody has cars. All the students have cars and things like that. They had to walk from their dormitories a long distance through the rain to come to this lecture. Not, as I said, not just an ordinary rain, but pouring rain. So it was really, really nice to see that so many of them came for that. And I spoke at in South India. I spoke at several universities in Trivandrum, to different scientific societies, medical schools, schools of management. So we were speaking at all kinds of educational institutions. In Chennai, I spoke at one of the big universities there, Anna University. Also spoke at the IIT there. Hyderabad, I spoke at several colleges. I also spoke at one of India's top scientific research organizations, the Institute for Cellular and Molecular Biology in Hyderabad. So, and then also in Hyderabad, I spoke to the scientists of the Defense Research and Development Organization. I wasn't allowed to come onto the institute itself because it's so top secret. And, they don't let foreigners go there, but they all came to a lecture off the campus. Then I spoke at several universities in the Delhi area. Then in each city we also had like bookstore events. This is the launch of the book at the Oxford Bookstore in Mumbai with prominent ISKCON member Dr. Desai Srinathji. There is the chief guest, and many people purchase books. This is in Bangalore, the Oxford Bookstore, and the Leela Palace Galleria, which puts Beverly Hills to shame, I have to say. It's like a pretty amazing place. And in Chennai, we had several bookstore events, some of them with film stars, and there's Banu Swami there, another bookstore event in Chennai with another dance star. Then Hyderabad, we had also several bookstore events, including this one, Why Ape the West? Here, author Michael Cremo's Vedic Alternative to Darwin's Theory. So, And then we also tried for media, and I had interviews with reporters of the biggest newspapers in India, and press conferences in every city, interviews with science reporters, interviews with reporters for the national magazine called The Week. And here are some of the articles that came out, you know, Origin of Species versus Vedic Devolution, Story on Man Who Challenges Darwin, Vedas versus Darwin, Forbidden Truth, Mind Over Matter, Humans Existed Millions of Years Ago, Forbidden Archaeology, Evolution versus Devolution, Author to Discuss Man's Devolution, Human Being Devolved from Supreme Conscious Self, Exploring Vedic Perspectives on Human Antiquity. They quote me as saying, in the Vedas and Puranas, I found a picture of human history quite different from what I learned at school. And these are just a few of the articles, you know, that came out. There were just lots of articles in each city. And then there are also some television programs on Doordarshan, you know, Indian national television. When I went in the studio, they had, you know, this big sign, Doordarshan welcomes, you know, Dr. Michael A. Cremo. Oops. Yes, I am a doctor now. The devotee college in Budapest, Hungary, gave me an honorary PhD, which they can do. Because, you know, they're a government-approved, you know, educational institution there, and they have the ability to do that. So, so I can call myself a doctor now if I like. So there are lots of television programs there. And, of course, they try to make me look pretty. Very, very hard to do. But, you know, there was some nice, you know, coverage, you know, for the, you know, book. Millions of people got to learn about, you know, the book. And then kind of along the way, you know, I got to also see some interesting places. Like in South India, these are some temples that Lord Chaitanya visited. The Padmanabhi Swami Temple in Trivandrum, and the Janardana Temple also in Kerala in South India. So it's nice to visit these places that Lord Chaitanya visited on his preaching tour of South India. And then when I was in Calcutta, I also took advantage of being there to visit some of the places connected with Srila Prabhupada's Leela, for example. This is the neighborhood where he was born in 1896, Taliganj district. And then I also especially want to see this place, because this is the building where Srila Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. They were on the roof, and that's when he got his order to spread, you know, Krishna consciousness around the world. So it was on the roof of this building, and as he said himself, so I went to see His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur in 1922 in that Ultadanga building. And at that time, Prabhupada was sitting on the roof. So that's where Srila Prabhupada got his order to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, without which none of us would be here today. Okay, so that was it. Thank you. Hari Bol. Any questions about that? No? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.